Then you can bring. I really felt like the Lord is just really continues to highlight. Obviously, I was supposed to speak last week, and we didn't get there. Does everybody have a handout real quick? If you don't, hey, Mike, could you grab some teachings on that back place? And we'll get to, if you don't have a teaching, we'll get those to you. Obviously, I'm not going to share. You got a front and a back. I hope if you were here the 2 weeks before, we shared the first one, so I'm not sharing all that again. I just wanted you to have it for your reference. But I wanted to kind of continue this thought this morning, because last week we were really in this place of just addressing unbelief, and it was kind of interesting. There's been a couple dreams that my wife even had a dream this morning about door and some things in relationship to faith, and another lady in our church also had another dream I might share. Anybody need one? Raise your hand real quick, and Jeff will get them to you. I just really want to read this scripture again, and starting, if you haven't been here, we've been just, Craig about a month ago now, it seems like, about a month ago, started us on this place of God being a shield, the Lord being your shield. And of course, I hadn't really planned on sharing behind him, but all of a sudden the Lord just started highlighting to me, asking the question, if the Lord isn't your shield, then what is? And all of a sudden, Lord wanted me to answer that. And all of a sudden I started realizing, if the Lord's not my shield, the only thing that's left is me, right? Aspects of what I can do, what I can bring to the table to bring in relationship to a shield. And also, before I knew I was going to forget, John Hobbs, I just want to encourage you, 2 weeks, 19th, somewhere in there, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If you have never got to experience John Hobbs, you need to experience John Hobbs. I hope you will come and participate in those times. We'll get out the times. There's going to be a couple night meetings here. They're here. Yeah, John Hobbs will be here. Well, it was funny because somebody put out John Arnott. I think we put somewhere. It felt like John Arnott and his wife were going to be here. And we were like, well, no. Actually, I think we have a crew that went to see them. And we're somewhere close. Fredericksburg. And then I know a couple of my daughters and some peeps went up to see the Bethel crew. Chris Ballatin was having a prophetic thing up in Washington. So got quite a few people here and there this weekend. Rick and Paul are at Falls Creek Falls at their annual get together. So be praying for everybody traveling and things and people getting back. So John Hobbs, if you have never experienced him, sometimes it's fun to experience John Hobbs and Kenny Davis. Some of y'all remember Kenny Davis a few years ago, but it's good to have John Hobbs come, and he is just a father, good, awesome, cool father in the faith. Doesn't wear socks, and he is just a really great speaker and great just father in the faith too. So I just encourage you, if you can make plans for that, make plans for that. All right, Stepping Out's coming up this week. All those things, I just encourage you to come and participate. Oh, sorry, and that's this Wednesday, if you got that message. This Wednesday, we're going to do a 5 to 6, 7 week series on really just felt like God was just bringing some foundational things, and Rick had talked about doing something in relationship to really just answering some of life's harder questions. If you're one of those people that like to have answers for people that ask those tough questions, it'd be a great opportunity. So Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8, this starting this Wednesday, we're going to have that. So I just want to make sure people knew about that. So come and walk with that. All right, let me get to speak. Let's go back to this Ephesians passage, Ephesians 6. I just want to read it. I read it last couple of weeks, but let's just read it again. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, and we have stopped there every time. I will continue to speak that. Some of you need to hear it for the third time. Your struggle is not against flesh and blood. Your struggle is not against people in your life, situations in your life, flesh and blood situations. Our struggle is in this place of, in the spirit, being able to walk and address things. And so I just encourage you, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, principalities, world forces of darkness, spiritual forces in the heavenly places. Therefore, it's a good therefore, so you need something. He's going to give you something for that. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything that you would, what? Stand firm. I mean, that's a big place. The place isn't, you know, when everything's nice and neat that we stand firm. It's when things are coming against us. That's when you need this place of standing firm. Now, think about this. Stand firm, therefore, putting on the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel. And then it makes this little statement in there, and it says, in addition to all. So, if you start reading, and you can go ahead and put this next verse up there. I wanted to, in relationship to having done all, take up the shield of faith. Now, if you've been here the last couple weeks, we've just talked about that just briefly, but think about this. This word is the only word for shield in the Bible. Now, obviously, you see shield other places. That's a different word, different Greek word, different, or if it's in the Old Testament, obviously, it's Hebrew. But this is the only word for shield in the Bible in the New Testament. And it was kind of interesting as I was, like I said, I just randomly just thought, well, maybe I should look that up in the Greek and see it. And it was kind of interesting. This shield isn't, you know, one of these, you know, one of your Captain America shields, yeah, where you're running. And this shield is a full body shield. This is it was an old Greek word for door. And as you see, formerly meant a stone for closing the entrance of a cave. Then it became a shield, a large and oblong, protecting every part of the soldier. The word is obviously used metaphorically of faith, where the believer is to take up in all that has just been mentioned, in all these things, I need to take up the shield of faith. Now, what is take up? Is that passive or active?
Active.
And so, yeah. So actively, I am taking this up, okay? This is a place where obviously you don't see me, you see what? Shield. And obviously, if we go back to Craig's word, then what is this? The Lord, right? The Lord is our shield. Faith in the Lord is our shield. Not faith in me, not faith in my ability to get it done, not my faith, my ability to believe every single, you know, word. It's the fact that it's faith in Him. And so we've talked about that, but I wanted you to remind you of just that reality. In everything, I have to have the shield of faith in action, taken up, all right? So we had gone through this series of looking at David and looking at Saul. Now, the only other option is to pick up the shield of faith, and of course, that's this. This is what we look like, you know, and obviously, this is what we look like. There's only one, you know, I can guard my heart, I can't what? Guard my mind. I can do one. I can get a few fiery darts, but I can't get them all. All right. And so there's a reality that you know. You think about what a fiery arrow would do. It's not necessarily only the when it hits. It's actually then how it spreads. Right. And we were talking about fiery darts of the enemy. If you think about what you know, Paul spoke about. You know, the father of what? The enemy is the father of lies. And so most of what's trying to come against us is what the enemy would try to lie. You think about, as I was thinking through this, you know, I was thinking about even going back. I mean, this is an age-old concept. This is an Adam and Eve issue, right? They had everything in the garden. He told them, you know, eat freely, do all these things. They were enjoying life. They were enjoying life in the presence of God. The enemy comes along and all of a sudden gets Eve to pick this thing up. What does he do? How does he do that? He shoots a nice little arrow into her spirit, her heart, and all of a sudden he says, hey, you know, God's character isn't all that what you thought. He's really holding some stuff back from you. You know, you should really just go ahead and take the fruit, because if you take the fruit, then you'll actually become like God, and that you'll actually know God in ways that you don't know right now. And I was thinking, man, isn't that the craziest thing? a lie all of a sudden spreads, and so all of a sudden she takes up the shield. Yeah, you're right, enemy. Yeah, I need this little apple right here, right? And so that's what happens, even from the get-go. I mean, this is an age-old concept because that's exactly how the enemy tried to get Eve. Shoot a lie, start talking about the character of God, talk about his faithfulness. And remember last week, and that's why we're really talking about unbelief. Unbelief is this arrow that says, I can't believe in God's faithfulness or his character. And so I just really encouraging that. I did actually. This is an interesting passage too. Romans 3:3 says, you know, when Paul starts asking questions, sometimes you should really pay attention when Paul asks like a question, because a lot of times it's almost sarcastic. Like he's asking a sarcastic. It says, what then? If some did not believe, does their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? Because all of a sudden he's like, wait a minute, just because they believe, does that nullify the character? They don't believe, does that nullify the character of God? It was just interesting. The enemy always wants to try to speak about the character of God and take your faith and make it over here to where I'm taking up the shield of faith and kind of doing this thing on my own. Instead of, if I'm back behind here, I'm believing in the faithfulness of God, the character of God. That's what's shielding me. And so, anyway, all that being said, we took a bunch of things last week. We talked about when you take up the shield of faith, if you look on the other side, this is what we did last time. We're not doing it again. But we saw David, he stepped into places that he was called to. You know, he was called to Goliath. He was called to take him down. And he stepped in faith, right? And when he stepped in faith, he took him down and saved a whole nation, right? So if we're walking in the shield of faith, we step actually into places that we need to. Go on. Now, Saul, otherwise, he stepped into a place that he wasn't supposed to be in relationship to, he stepped into the priestlyhood when he wasn't supposed to. He took up this priestly mindset. Go on to the next one. When you take up a shield of faith, you choose obedience over convenience. David could have killed Saul several times, and he knew he couldn't because Saul was his anointing, and God had set apart Saul as king. So he's like, I'm not going to choose that over that convenience. But think about the other side. Saul was supposed to, the first action he was supposed to do was take out all the Amalekites. He said, and God said, utterly destroyed them, and he didn't do it because it was convenient for him to kind of keep some couple peeps alive, and then all the choice sheep and all the livestock. It was out of his convenience. He kept them alive. So that's what the shield of the self does. Keep going. That's what the shield of self does. Go on to the next one. Taking up the shield of faith, he causes us to value relationships in your life, even the hard ones. Even when Saul passed away, David was weeping over him because of the relationship that he had with him. I mean, it wasn't always bad, but you know, obviously the last years, you know, Saul was always after him, but he still valued him in the midst of that, still valued his relationship. Go on to the next one. If you take up the shield of faith, causes you to build walls up towards one another. You know, self. When you take up the shield of self, it causes you to build up walls towards one another. You know, that's when all of a sudden Saul got into, said David's, Saul slain 1,000, David slain 10,000, and all of a sudden, Saul tried to get rid of him. So those are the first three that we did. I wanted to continue on 4 and 5. Think about this. When you take up the shield of faith, you let God establish your place and your purpose. Okay, we're going to watch how David did that. Look at this. Go on to the next one. I'll come back to that if I have time. Go on. There you go. Think about this in 2 Samuel. Then all the tribes, this is obviously 2 Samuel's transition. Saul's dead. The reality is that they ended up having a king over, they established another son of Saul as king over Israel. And then David becomes king of Judah. They were two separate entities within the same kingdom. All right, now it says, then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, behold, we are bone of your flesh. Previously, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel in and out. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people, Israel, and you will be a ruler over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant before them, before the Lord of Hebron. And then they anointed David king over Israel. Do you realize when this happened? Okay, obviously the son of Saul has now passed away. There was a civil war. Sorry, I forgot that little part. But all of a sudden, they finally come and anoint David king over Israel. Do you know how long that was? 15 years in between when God told him he would be king of Israel to a point where approximately 15 years. David was probably 15 or so when he was anointed and appointed. It was 30 before he actually became king. Do you realize that you need, for 15 years, if God speaks something into you, you have two choices. You can let God establish that, and you can fight for it, you can work for it, you can do all the ins and outs, or you can stand behind here and let God establish you. Do you realize David never grabbed for position or place? You never really see him. He's not worried about that. A lot of times we're always worried about, God, what's my place? Like, where I've got to have position, I've got to have something going. And so we tend to kind of come back over here and start picking this thing up, and we start going, God, I've got to make this happen. Like, I've got to put that in a process. Like, that's got to, you think about this, I put in here, go on the next one, I think. Keep going. I'm going to skip that. Think about this example of Abraham. Think about Abraham, obviously, is the father of what? Faith, right? And we talked a little bit about this last week when, right towards the end. But think about this. These words came right before God speaks to him about that he's going to be a father of many nations, that Isaac is going to come past. These words, right? And after these things, the word of God came to Abram in a vision saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. That's interesting. He could have said, I am a provider for you. I am a miracle worker for you. I am a, you fill in the blank. I would have probably chosen another word here, right? Because they didn't necessarily need a shield. He needed a miracle. He needed life to come out of a 75-year-old body, right? That's, anybody 75 and want to have a kid in here? Anybody? I mean, that's what he needed. But think about this. Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward will be very great. Abraham knows what he's talking about here in relationship to reward, because think about the next statement. Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me since I'm childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar? Come on to the next. And Abram said, since you have given me no offspring, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came and said, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. He took him outside, looked towards the heavens, and count the stars, if you're able to count them. So shall your descendants be. Now think about this next statement. Then he believed in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned to him as what? Righteousness. The ability to believe is righteousness. Now the problem is, you need a shield to keep that righteousness there. Because there's a reality that in the process, why do you think that God spoke to Abraham, I am going to be your shield? Because the time that he spoke Isaac into existence in relationship to Abraham, how long did it take before that was going to come to pass? 25 years. He didn't know that. He didn't have a clue. So think about that. And we talked about that several times. You know, they picked up the shield of self. Here, we can do this. We can figure this out because God's not on our time frame and he's must be a little slow because he's not getting this thing done. So let's get this thing done, right? Amen. How many times do we pick that up? I mean, we do that a lot. Yeah. Here, let me get this. I got to get it. God's a little slow. I mean, I know he knows everything, but I think I know a little bit more. So, I think I can make this thing work. And so what happens is we pick this up and all of a sudden we make Ishmael's. You know, we say, you know, we can do this another way. And we don't want Ishmael's in our life. We want to believe and let that believing be reckoned as what? Righteousness. That's why there's a breastplate of righteousness there. There's a facet that it all connects. I don't have time to connect all that, and we won't do that. But think about that in relationship to that reality, that God establishes your position, your place. Think about that. All of a sudden, the weight of you're going to be a father of many nations. I mean, that's a pretty heavy weight. Anybody got that on them right now? But the reality is that then I have to choose. Am I going to stand in faith and be in that place of, okay, God, I don't know how that's happening, but God, you are what? Faithful. Remember, that's what Hebrews 11:11 is all about. Sarah was able to conceive beyond the proper time of life because she considered God faithful. She finally stood behind this. I really believe she finally got in this place. She's like, all right, God, I can't do it, but you can. You are more than able to do that. I can't do it, but you can. All right? So think about that versus the shield of self. We end up protecting our turf at all costs. Like, I've got to protect myself. I've got to protect the things in my life. Think about, go on to that next one. Think about what Saul does in this situation. Saul's anger, the reality is that Jonathan, everybody always takes up for David, not necessarily Saul. So Saul always gets frustrated. But look what he speaks to Jonathan here. It says, then Saul's anger burned against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman. Sounds like cussing to me, but sounds like the Old Testament cussing, I guess. Do I not know that you are choosing the son of Jesse to your own shame and the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. You see what's behind that? He's trying to establish his own place. He's just trying to establish his own kingdom. He's trying to establish his own kingship. When God's the one that established him and set him apart. If he would have stayed there, I don't think we'd have had the same Bible story as we had. But he came over here, he picked up the shield of faith and said, man, this shield of self, thank you for keeping me, shield of self, and he took it up and he said, if you realize if we keep David alive, you know, you start realizing when you start killing relationships in your life, you should think about this. When you start knocking off relationships because all of a sudden they're not comfortable or they're not easy or they're not, I just encourage you, make sure you're not doing what Saul did. And all of a sudden he's like, to maintain my protectedness, my self-protectedness, I got to get rid of you. I got to get rid of the church, or I got to get rid of people, whatever that looks like. And when God's saying, no, stand right here. See my salvation. See what I can do in that relationship. See what I can do in that situation. Because we're not created to protect our own turf. Saul wasn't created to protect turf. He was created to lead a people. He was created to watch God do a miracle in that. All right, so taking the shield of faith, it lets God establish your purpose and place, not protecting yourself and your own turf. All right? Think about this next one. Oh, whoops. Hey, I didn't finish this one. Sorry. This is funny. But Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said to him, why should David be put to death? What has he done? Then Saul hurled his spear at him to strike him down. So Jonathan knew that his father had decided to put David to death. You think that all of a sudden you got a spear? He's trying to spear his own son. There's a reality that, you know, he had gotten to that place. Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did not eat food on the second day of the new moon, for he was grieved over David because his father had dishonored him. And just the reality, there's a facet. When I get into the place where I've lost honor for people in my life, I just encourage you, ask God to restore that. Ask God to really find that place, because God honors the fact that you are a creation of God. So even David, Saul came against him for years. David was able to honor Saul, even in the midst of that. You know, so when you think about you know, people in your life, I just encourage you, ask God to help restore the honor that you have in relationship, not to what they've done, sometimes what they've done is sometimes foolish, like Saul to David. It was foolish. There was no reason to even do it. David was actually helping Saul like crazy. But all of a sudden, he started, you know, taking up the shield of self. So really ask God to restore that honor. All right, the fifth point. Go on to that. Taking up the shield of faith turns you towards God in difficult situations. Think about this. This is right before Saul dies, and David is living among the Philistines. That's how far he's gotten because Saul has driven him that far. He's living amongst the enemy, basically. Now, but he's had favor with them, which is crazy. So David goes out, and he's going to actually go with the Philistines to fight against Saul and Israel. Well, the Philistines catch wind of that, and they're like, man, we can't have David. He'll turn on us right when we're taking Israel out. So they said, you know, David, go back to your peeps. So he goes back to his peeps, and all of a sudden, this is what happens. This is what he returns to. Like, he's going out to help. Now he returns to this. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites. That's interesting. You know who should have been dead by now? You remember what Saul was supposed to do at the beginning? You know what happens when you don't take out enemies when you have the chance? They come back to bite, right? So just a reality in that God wants you to be in this place where take out the enemy when you have the chance, right? So he's fighting the Amalekites still, and I don't understand all that, but the reality is that Saul must have left a few people other than the king personally, and made a raid on all these people and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. They came and took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, carried them off and went their way. All right, go ahead. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of their sons and daughters. So that's the reality. He went to try to fight. He comes back. None of the wives, all those people are missing. So all of a sudden, put yourself in that place. Like, I mean, that's what you have to do in some of these. They're not stories. There's reality. These are realities. You know, this is what David faced. He's about to get stoned. Okay? Think about when you have a bad day. Or just put yourself, just think of a bad day. I mean, we won't even go to this extreme. Just put yourself in a bad day. All right. Typically, when you have a bad day, do you just go to the Lord? Or do you sometimes check out on a Netflix or check out on a this or that? Or maybe go vent to somebody or maybe go whatever your little choice is. David is in a place where he is about to get stoned. His own family is taken. So what does he do? What's the next statement? Y'all have heard this before. David strengthened himself in the Lord. He got here. He got here. He didn't go, Netflix is not here. Netflix will tune your brain out for about 2 hours, but it is not getting you here. Right? You know, going and splurging or whatever. You know, I won't even go. But you just put yourself. You know what Netflix means to you. But the reality is, David got here. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Now, what is the result? Watch this. Verse 18 down there. David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken, rescued his two wives. Nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything. David brought it all back. David had captured all the sheep, cattle, which the people drove out, and they called it David's spoil. Isn't that amazing? Not one thing was touched, it's great or small. You know why I believe he was able to do that? Because he did this, and he said, God, do you want me to go get them? Do you want me to go? I mean, that's, to me, it's an assumption. David, you should go get your kids. You should go get your family. But he even said, no, I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. I want to hear what God is saying. I'm not going to assume. I'm going to hear what God's saying. Versus, let's go on to the next one. The shield of self causes us to fight God. You know, this is what Saul does. He starts fighting God. Think about this. David departed from there, escaped to the cave. This is another one of those where Saul's after him, all right? Think about this. And when his brothers, his fathers, his household heard it, they went down there to him. Everyone who was in distress. Think about this army. This is the army of David right here. Think about this. Everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him. Anybody want that? Church congregation, right? Discontented, you're in debt, and you are in distress. Or wait a minute. You're discontent, debted, and distressed. The three bad D's, right? Those are bad D words, right? But these are the people that David takes the rest of the way and conquers. Yeah. That's what God can do if you do this, right? Yeah. He sure ain't going to be able to do it if I'm over here. But David was able to use this. Okay, I just had to speak that. There was about 400 men. Go on. So Saul catches wind of it. He goes down. And, you know, Ahimelech, I think, is the priest at the time. And they're all trying to cover for David again. Saul never likes that. It's always funny. You just, if you read through it, it's just a hilarious, just in and out. But listen to what Saul says. Hear, O Benjamites, who will the son of Jesse, David, will David give to you all the fields and vineyards like I have? Will he make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds like I have? For all of you have conspired against me so that there is no one who discloses to me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you who is sorry for me. Anybody ever get in those moments? Is anybody going to be sorry for me? Is anybody going to like pay attention to the fact that, you know, everybody's against me or this, that, and the other? These are just the same situation where Saul takes up the shield of self comes in that form a lot. Kind of is anybody sorry for me? Like, does anybody recognize, like, how bad things are with me? You know, everybody's against me. And so, unfortunately, he turns and go on to the next one. Says, but the king said, he's speaking to the priest now, you shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and your father's household. And the king said to the guards who were attending him, turn around, put the priests of the Lord to death, because their hand was with David and because they knew that he was fleeing and did not reveal it to me. Now look at the servants of the king were not willing to do it. That should give you a clue. This is not a good idea. You are fighting against God at this moment. So, of course, goes on. Then the king said to this guy, Diog, or I don't know how you, I won't call him. It's not Doug. It's not Doug. Diog, you turned around and attacked the priest. And Diog, the Edomite, turned around, attacked the priest. He killed that day 85 men who wore the linen ephod. And he struck Nob, the city of the priests, with the edge of the sword. He took them all out. All of a sudden, Saul began to fight against God. When you start finding yourself removing relationships that are important to you, especially like in the body of Christ, people that are close to you, people that have walked with you, people that have run with you. And again, I'm not saying that there's times and seasons, but there's a reality that sometimes we start fighting against God by taking relationships out. We start taking the shield up and we start, you know, keeping everybody at a distance. That's another one. We either take somebody out or we'll just keep them at a distance, you know. And God's saying, that's not the answer. Keep going. I think there's one more. Oh. So I just encourage you that Saul began to try to take, and he started warring against God himself. Think about this. If God's declared to David that he's supposed to keep interacting with Saul in a righteous way and not touching him, there's a reality that if David takes this out. He's fighting against God. He's fighting against God. That's why he wouldn't do it. It's like, I'm not fighting against God. I'm not taking Saul out. Where Saul is like, well, I'm just going to, if these people aren't going to be on my side, I'm just going to, you know. And so I just encourage you, make sure that you're not taking up that shield. And I want to end with this, and I ended with it last week. Just how does Jesus do it? And I spoke it real quick, so I just want to speak it again. How did Jesus do that? Obviously, he's the best example that you can find, right? In the face of moments like this. These are all hard moments. These aren't easy moments. How does Jesus do it? Think about this in 1 Peter. For you have been called for this purpose. Since Christ suffered for you, so we're talking about the cross, what he did, laying down his life, getting beaten, he left you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Now, think about this. While reviling, he reviled in return, right? While being threatened, he threatened back, right? He didn't. He did something different. Guess what he did? Stayed right here. What's the next scripture? He uttered no threats, keep going, but kept entrusting himself to a God who judges righteously. He took up his shield of faith. He said, all right, God, and I might not even understand all the fullness of it, but what I'm doing is I'm standing. When I've done all else, I'm going to stand. I picked up this shield. You are faithful. He went. So think about the another scripture. Go on to that next scripture. There's another good scripture in 2 Timothy. This is Paul, but it says, for this reason I suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, because I know in whom I have what? Believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard that which I've entrusted to him, my life. If I entrust in my life, I entrust in my family, if I entrust in my future, there's a reality that if I put myself here, he is able to what? Guard that which I've entrusted to him that day. Now think about this. This is what I ended on last, or at least talked about real quick last week. Think about these four situations. I didn't even put scriptures in them. You know them. Think about when he has just gotten off the 40-day fast, and he's been out in the wilderness. And I don't know about you guys, but take 40 days and don't eat water, or don't eat anything, and be out in the wilderness and the craziness. Thank you. You can play some and listen. Think about what he speaks to him. All of a sudden, he gets tempted. Turn these stones to bread. Call your angels down to assist you. Trying to think of the third one. Remember, I just went blank. Throw yourself off, so I'll give you everything. I'll give you all the authority back. Three big temptations. But what did he do? Man can't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from your mouth. That's what he had to fight back with. Shield of faith, right? When all of a sudden he's trying to choose whether he should die for humanity or do something. God is not my, you know, he's like, Father, help this cup pass. He's in the garden. He's fighting for life. Can we do this any other way? But not your will. Not my will. Your will be done. That's the reality. When tough situations, Jesus lived through them all. Think about on the cross. He's suffering. He's like going to the cross. They're mocking, spitting at him. You know, he could have, again, physically, he could have called legions of angels and just wiped them out. I think I would have been tempted. After, I mean, you get mocked enough, you get spit at enough, you get lied about enough, you want to do something. But he didn't. He said, Father, what? Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how they're hurting me. They don't know how they're hurting themselves. They don't know how they're walking. That's how we've got to walk in that place. You know, and then the last one, I lay down my life so that I can what? Take it up again. Right? If you're going to live life, you have to what? Lose it. Lay it down. If I'm going to, but the cool thing is that when I lay it down, I get to what? Pick his up. pick his life of faith up. And so I just encourage you this morning. I really feel like God's really continuing to call us. And I ran over because you were supposed to share. You want to share what you were going to share real quick? Yeah. Can you play some of this? Oh, you can. Sorry. We're having this. Grab that.
It was just really interesting. A sister, she didn't want to be named, so I'm not going to name her, had shared a dream on Friday. And this is the dream. It's just really interesting. Ron McCall's in his dream. So there was a DP gathering. So in this dream, it's like individual, corporate, like Dwelling Place, and then national. There was a DP gathering, and Ron McCall was sharing a dream he'd had. So this is a dream within a dream.
Dream within a dream.
The whole church was walking on a smooth ocean towards Jesus. Our faith was strong because we were walking on the water. Then the sky darkened and the wind and waves picked up all around us. Jesus beckoned us to keep coming forward, but our hearts lit up with red stoplights. We didn't sink, but we stopped and wouldn't move forward. After Ron shared his dream, Ben Bradford, who was also in the dream, stood up and said that someone in Awaken the Dawn, which is an intercessory prayer group, had the exact same dream, only it was about the Church of America walking on the ocean. Hearts lit up with red stoplights when the storm came and everyone stopped. And the thing that one is just what stood out to me was just really powerful, that Jesus was beckoning even though the storm was going on. And we hadn't sunk, we just stopped. And the statement she said, before the storm came, our faith was strong because we were walking on the water. So I really felt like this dream was one of incredible encouragement. It said, our hearts lit up when the storm hit, our hearts lit up with red stoplights. And I guess that's what just hit me, were the areas, the red stoplights that stop us from being here. And last week, two things just had come up when I was talking to someone else, and I feel like here, like Mitch was saying, the lies that cut off our faith. And it's just interesting, like, I've always, this example for like 20 years has been huge for me, is seeing like what I'm believing as a door, which I've never heard this as talked about a door. But I feel like for example, two areas that were huge for me. One, a lie, which I talked to probably 50 people that struggle with this at certain times in their lives. Okay, are you even saved? And I remember for years just constantly, gosh, am I even saved? Am I even saved? And finally, the Lord just said, Leah, you got to shut that door. You know, you got to shut the door. And it was several, probably, maybe it took weeks of just when that lie would hit me. I literally would just say, God, forgive me for believing that lie. And the fact is, Romans 10, you are my Lord Jesus, and I am saved. And so it was just a point of shutting the door, like repenting of the lie. Another one, probably for, 10 to 20 years, like I really struggle with just thoughts of like, does anyone, would it really matter, if I was here? Or do I really want to be here? I mean, I really struggled with just thoughts of just like losing my, like giving up my life. I mean, for decades, even when I was a believer. And I remember that one moment where it was just like, God's like, Leah, you have got to just shut those thoughts off. And it's, I mean, for decades, it would hit me over and over again until I just was like, God, your desire is that I live. And so every time that thought would hit, or that thought about driving off the road, like, I just, like, Lord, forgive me for even entertaining that. And I just rebuke it. And I just shut the door to just thoughts of suicide or death. Like, I just rebuke that in Jesus' name. I think a lot of us, there are things that we just entertain. And sometimes we think we're the only ones. I mean, even thoughts of driving off the road. I can't tell you the many people that hear those type of things. And so I just really felt like there are areas that we've just entertained, even thoughts towards other people. It could be lies about us, lies about God, you know, lies that we believe about others that really cut off our faith and really expose us. I mean, it grieves me, like, some of the things I entertain, you know, because I look out here and I'm like, the worth and value of each individual, irreplaceable, like, even towards our young people. Like, there's nothing that can fill the space of any of our lives. Like, every person is irreplaceable. Yeah. Their destiny, their calling is irreplaceable. And I've really felt like there's just, even practically, we could just got to shut the doors on some of the things that we entertain.
I want you to stand real quick. I want you to just think of, this is a response this morning. I want you to think of something in your life that you've had a hard time shaking, like Leah was talking about. You know it's a lie. You know there's something there that you've been wrestling with. I feel like it's one of those wrestles, you know, that you're wrestling with something. And it feels like, and you know it's a lie, but you hadn't been able to shut the door. And, you know, Rick encouraged us. You remember that? He sent out a song after that. You know, shut the door, keep out the devil. You know, that's the reality. You know, shut the door. Like, this is the door of faith, the shield of faith, taking it up and shutting out those lies. All they do is try to hinder and take us out from our place of faith to our place of self. And so, Lord, I just want to pray right now in Jesus' name. Everybody get that, whatever that thought is, whatever that situation is, whatever that lie is. Just get in your thoughts. Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, I just pray in the name of Jesus, strength to take up the shield of faith, God, to shut the door on these lies in Jesus' name. God, that every life is valuable. I just speak in the name of Jesus. That door is shut today that says any lie that your life is not valuable to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, especially, and to us as the body. In Jesus' name, your life has value, it's worth. In the name of Jesus, those doors be canceled, cut off, shut off in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we also just pray anything that we even would say, my life's not worthy enough, and I should just go on. Whatever that looks like, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, be gone and shut that door in Jesus' name. And I just pray, again, sometimes it's going to be a measure of faith because I don't know what it looks like on the other side of that lie. I've been believing it for so long. But now I have to believe. Now I do have to just believe that I'm the best or the whatever. Just get in God's heart and you'll find it. Get in God's, this place of his presence under the shield of faith, and you'll find it, I promise. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, God, these doors be broken off, these lives be broken off, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I just pray from, Lord, again, as the practicality of my, sometimes that I think, Lord, just help us, Lord, even in that physical way, God, just, even just in the physical way, I've just been holding my two hands together sometimes, some days or mornings or evenings, and I just have to stand when I've done all else, to stand and hold that shield up, God. I'm just coming against those thoughts of the enemy, those lies that are saying, Lord, it's all going down, or it's not worth it, or Lord, or whatever that looks like. I just pray in Jesus' name, help us to practically just take up the shield of faith, to put on the full armor of God, that we would be able to withstand any fiery dart of the enemy, fiery arrow of the enemy. It says you will extinguish all of them as we stand behind this shield. So, Lord, we thank you that you are a shield, that you are the shield of faith. So, Lord, we bless you. We take you up. We take your heart with us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can I have a few of the prayer team?